Greetings to this very urgent edition of Faith to Live By. I'm Pam Christian, the host of the weekly program, where I seek to help us understand current events from a biblical and prophetic perspective. If you have listened before or follow me on social media, then you know I have brought James Verguski on as a guest and also promoted his efforts to stop the World Health Organization with my social media many times. Today, with a very last-minute invitation and the need for me to post a special bonus edition of my podcast, I'm grateful I am able to bring you this information before it's too late. I recently posted my rejoicing over the increased traction this topic is getting, noted by a press conference held on April 18th, sponsored by the Tea Party Patriots, with headlines that read, quote, "In just 40 days, the Biden administration plans to agree to what amounts to two international treaties that will give the World Health Organization the ability to define and control the United States' response to public health emergencies in direct breach of its official sworn oaths to support and defend the U.S. Constitution." Lawmakers and thought leaders hold a press conference to express opposition to the idea of giving up United States sovereignty to the World Health Organization, end quote. I encourage you to watch the replay of this conference to know more of the details and to see which of our elected officials are aware and working to stop this travesty. You'll find the link in the show notes. Now, to tell us more about what we can and must do is my guest, James Verguski. James Verguski, welcome once again to my podcast. I'm so delighted to see the trend and the progress that's being made with this whole topic of the World Health Organization and how people are finally waking up and realizing we must take action or we will lose our, what would you call it, sovereign health care?
Well, there's, you know, still a lot of confusion out there, and hopefully we'll clarify some of that. And there's an opportunity for people to speak truth to power. There's a public comment session being held by the U.S. government. So where would you like to start?
How about just a brief background of what is actually taking place right now with the World Health Organization and why it's imperative that everybody do what they can. Hopefully many people will choose to speak with the instructions you'll be providing, but every one of us should at least write the letter by May 3rd.
Right. There's an opportunity with the Department of Health and Human Services Office of Global Affairs. They're essentially the organization that is representing the United States at these negotiations. There's two separate tracks for the negotiations. They're doing both amendments to existing international health regulations. And the week of April 22nd to the 26th is supposed to be the last meeting of those amendments, negotiating them. And the next 2 weeks after that, April 29th to May 10th, they're having meetings for what most people call the pandemic treaty. And so there's what they call a listening session that will be held on May 2nd. And people can put in an RSVP. You can respond. I will speak out the email address. It's oga.rsvp1. at hhs.gov. If you put in a letter to them by Friday, April 26th, and you specify your name, your email address, and whatever organization, if you belong to an organization, or if not, if you're just a person, and you tell them what agenda item you want to talk about. This is not just about the proposed amendments or the proposed treaty. The WHO is going to be discussing many, many health-related things at the assembly in May, and now is the time to say what you want to say. You can also send a written comment by May the 3rd. So Friday the 26th is the deadline to request an opportunity to speak. The speaking engagement will be the 2nd of May, that Thursday, and you'll still have time to put in a written comment by May the 3rd. And really, to make this easy, you can just go to my Substack. It's jamesroguski.substack.com. And if you have any questions, give me a call. My number is 310-619-3055. There is a world of confusion surrounding all of this. And so I'm happy to try to, sort through any of the details that people might have questions about.
All right, now I really like what you're explaining, that there's the opportunity to send an email, and we can do that through the online instructions with your Substack account. We can send a written letter. We can RSVP for an opportunity to speak, and that RSVP has to be turned in by the 26th of April in order to speak on May 2nd. Now, you said that we can identify which items we want to address. How would we know what the agenda of topics actually will be?
That's in the article that I published. The article is very straightforward. It's public comment period. Submit your public comment is the name of the article. I published it on April 24th, which happens to be today, which happens to be my birthday. So thanks for
Well,
having me
happy
here.
birthday.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me? Because I'm 64. And so the Beatles made a song for today for me. But in all seriousness, there's been a lot of recent developments with the WHO negotiations for the amendments and the treaty. And I've published over the last couple of days new documents. And so if anyone has ever heard of mis, dis, or mal information, I'd like to add to that old information. And so while some people find this difficult, I would like to tell everybody just imagine, everything you think you know about the amendments and/or the treaty and the WHO. If it was a blackboard, just erase it and get a wet rag and wipe it all clean. Talking about old information is, kind of just as bad as mis, dis, or mal information.
Absolutely.
Get the latest. There have been good developments, but there are still serious issues going on. And one of them that, it's both enraging and it's so crazy, it's actually entertaining. So forgive me for talking about this with a light heart, but what they've done is really astonishing. And everybody really should just shame the WHO for even trying to do the things that they're doing. In regards to the new agreement or pandemic treaty or framework convention, whatever people want to call it, they've failed. And they know that they have failed to reach an agreement. There are several aspects that are being negotiated. And again, these are probably not things that you've been led to believe. What's really going on is probably different than you might think. But suffice it to say, they're having difficulty reaching agreement to the point where what they put out most recently is they want all of the nations to vote on this on Tuesday, May 28th. And the treaty will be available for signature the same day. They want the nations to agree to an unfinished document. And the more contentious aspects, they've said that they'll try to continue negotiations until May 31st of 2026.
Oh my
So they're
gosh.
thinking they need 2 more years to work out the details, but they want everybody to sign on the dotted line now. And to add insult to injury, really, if a nation doesn't sign the unfinished agreement, then they apparently will not be allowed to participate in the further negotiations. This is what I dubbed, evil negotiating tactics. I published an article just the other day. This is just if it wasn't so enraging, it would be hilarious. It's like some kind of comedy skit. If you wrote this and submitted it to Hollywood producers, I doubt that they would give you the green light because people would just say, "Oh, that's crazy. Nobody would actually ever really do that." But this is not necessarily unprecedented. The design of what they're working on is a framework convention. And what that means is you agree to an empty framework and pat yourself on the back for having reached an agreement. And then year after year, you have a bunch of unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats go have a party somewhere. This would probably be in Geneva. And whatever they decide year after year after year, you've already agreed to as a nation. And so the most obvious precedent for this is the 1992 Framework Convention for Climate Change. I'll just say, hey, how's that working out? Right? Year after year,
Right.
a bunch of bureaucrats get together. They decide on some of the craziest ideas dealing with climate and energy and carbon and all that sort of thing. And each nation signed on back in 1992. So whatever crazy ideas they come up with, we're obligated to try to implement them. Now, there's a lot of misinformation about what's in the agreement and what's in the amendments. And let me see if I can summarize it really briefly. Whatever your local tyrants may have attempted to do over the last 4.5 years, depending upon where you lived, maybe it was bad, really bad, or not so bad. But whatever they tried to do to overstep their authority and impose upon people's individual rights and freedoms, they did not need any amendments or a treaty to try to do what they did over the last 4.5 years. So
Right.
those local issues, the mask mandates, the jab mandates, the coercion, you might lose your job, you can't go to school, you can't go into a building or a store, whatever it may have been, those local issues are local issues. Your local officials have to be, corralled, and you have to examine your local laws and understand that they're more than happy to do that again if given the opportunity, unless you've really pushed back and changed the laws and gotten them under control. They're supposed to serve you. You're not supposed to obey them. Now, a lot of that type of information has gotten confused with what's going on with the WHO. In the amendments, a lot of things that were really crazy from the originally proposed amendments have really been dead in the water for more than a year. There was a review committee report that pushed back on a lot of that. And about 2 months ago, I published a leaked version of what we now have an official version of. And so a lot of the most, ridiculous stuff has gone away. But that doesn't mean that we're home free and anybody should celebrate. The battle is certainly not over. Not the least of which is actually something that is currently existing in the IHR. Article 31 in the existing IHR gives nations the authority. Now, this isn't the WHO commanding nations to do this. This is an agreement amongst all of the nations that they can abuse the rights and freedoms of people who are traveling to their country in the proper manner. If you get on an airplane or a cruise ship or some other means of travel, and you find yourself going through customs in another country, you're at great risk because the current Article 31 says that nations can compel travelers to go through a medical exam, be forced to do some sort of prophylaxis or prevention, be vaccinated, isolated, or quarantined. Now, that is horrible enough, and it really needs to be edited, but they haven't put forth any amendments to that. They've put forth amendments to Article 24 and 27 to actually strengthen the language, saying that officials could isolate or quarantine people. And then they use the phrase as appropriate. Well, boy, that sure is vague. And then they also want to add the ability to quarantine what they call the conveyance. That's the ship or the airplane or the train or whatever you might be traveling on. Well, the problem with this is that there's another definition, and that word is suspect. So if you're just simply on a plane or a boat with someone who, for whatever reason, is deemed to be ill and needs to be isolated, just because you're there, you're considered to be a suspect and you could be quarantined. So the core question, I don't know how much longer you want to spend, but the core question that we need to address as a world, right? Not just local or national or international. Everyone needs to address this core question. How can any person determine if another person is a danger to their fellow men and women? What criteria can some public official use to say that you have to go into isolation or quarantine? The language is far, far, far too vague, And the medical question is a phenomenal question. It's a very difficult question. What gives one person the right to claim, based on some paperwork about a jab that doesn't work, or some test that gives a lot of false positives and, you know, may say that someone is an asymptomatic, you know, danger to society? We have to come to terms with, we cannot allow public officials to lock people up and force medical processes upon them as appropriate. That is absolutely unacceptable. And so that's the amendments. And the treaty is essentially, they want nations to sign on to an unfinished document that is not about health. It would just take money from rich nations to build out the pharmaceutical hospital emergency industrial complex in poor nations, because they couldn't afford, you know, to do that the first time around. And they missed out on jabbing a whole bunch of people. So they want investment so that they can do that in the future. And again, that is, you know, clearly fraudulent. The jabs don't work. They don't stop infection. They don't stop transmission. They derange people's immune system, and they cause more disease, disability, and death than they would ever prevent. That, the whole concept, the whole fundamental concept behind these negotiations is just flat out wrong. But they don't seem to want to address that reality. They're all trying to get a piece of the pie. There's many billions of dollars involved in this. And I have every faith in the world that people who look at this information, they come away and they just go, this is crazy. What are these people doing? Stop. These negotiations must be stopped. It's not whether or not you vote no on the agreement. The no should be that there should be no vote. This needs to stop, and it needs to stop now.
And another thing you've brought out in the past when I've had you on, James, is that the World Health Organization views silence as acceptance.
Exactly.
So if we do not take action every opportunity that we have, we are actually giving permission, according to them, giving consent to what they want to do. So we must take up this battle. This is not a battle we can sit back and observe. In closing, James, would you please again give out your website, because you have it all written out. I wanted to get this podcast done. I wanted people to be able to hear this. But now I want them to go to your website, your Substack page, and to see and read and further digest what it is that you're saying, so that we can all take action with certainty.
The hardest part is spelling my name, so I'll do that for you. James Roguski, JamesRoguski.substack.com. And give me a phone call if you have any questions. That'll make it a lot easier for everybody. 310-619-3055.
Excellent, James. I'll have you back again as we find out more of what's actually happening with this whole issue. But I'm thankful that you were able last minute to come on, that we could put out this urgent, urgent podcast.
Thank you.
You heard James explain there are two action steps we can take for those who are inclined to speak and submit a video to be able to present on May 2nd, 2024. You need to send an email to the United States Department of Health and Human Services using the email address oga.rsvp1@hhs.gov. That's provided for you in the show notes, but here it is again, oga.rsvp1@hhs.gov. This email needs to be sent by April 26, 2028. This will serve as your RSVP to provide you time to speak on May 2nd. Also, each and every one of us need to use that same email address to send our opposition to their plans. Please go to James' Substack page, which is jamesroguski.substack, to see the specific instructions and follow them to voice your concerns. You'll find his link in the show notes. And if you need more information, James invites you to call him at 1-310-619-3055. Again, his phone number is 1-310-619-3055. Then, after you've taken action on this matter, I ask you to send me an email using faithtoliveby@pamelachristianministries.com. Let me know that you have sent your RSVP and or your letter to the Department of Health and Human Services. I want to personally thank you by sending you the link to connect you with Intercessors for America, who are also closely following this whole debacle with the World Health Organization. Please make a point of listening to my regular podcast that I've been posting since 2020, when it became apparent that the people of the world had been lied to and deceived for a very long time. I had to research and share the truth to help the world avoid the final push of the self-appointed elite seeking a one-world government. So with prayer and belief God had fully equipped me for this very time in history, I started this podcast. I do this podcast so that all of us can be equipped with the truth, seek the Lord in repentance for not having been engaged in the culture, and seek His guidance and direction with pleas for Him to heal our nations, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. So, in signing off, as I say each and every week, remember, Christ died for us. The least we can do is live for Him.